Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congratulations on getting through our 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kiley here. Brad Fanning here. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. Drive home safely. Stay warm out there. Happy Friday to you. We got a lot of stuff to get into in today's show. To end today's show, but there not being any more football games, it certainly sounds like a time to bring back Ask Us Anything. We'll do that coming up in about 45 minutes or so.
We got football tomorrow. There's football tomorrow and Sunday. Yeah, we got our Saturday-Sunday slate for the AAF at 5:45 today.
Trevor Knight, Garrett Gilbert, the pride of Texas University.
Trent Richardson, LaDainian Washington is in there.
Ricky Hatley is back on the football field.
You know who's not going to be on the football field? Lawrence Okoye. The guy for the Birmingham Iron that got busted in a prostitution sting right before the home opener. But other than that, all the guys are back.
I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. If you could just start naming people, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, they're in the league. Like, I have no clue who's in the league other than
Akeem Hunt.
Literally,
is in the
all I know in the league
Gavin Escobar is
Aaron Murray and Christian Hackenberg.
You don't know Matt Asiata?
Barely. I don't know those people.
Fantasy team 3 years
I'm
ago.
Definitely not watching it. If your best football player is Matt Asiata, that's not a football game that I'm interested in watching. But yes, the AAF starts this weekend. Let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, BK.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The week from hell continues for KU basketball. Last night we got word from Kansas that LeGerald Vick is taking a leave of absence for personal reasons. Now Bill Self did update this today. He said there's a great chance that they get him back, but KU has to act now as if they won't. When it comes to the on-court impact of this leave of absence, CDOT, how big of a blow is losing LeGerald Vick for the Jayhawks?
I think it's a big blow for him that I legitimately don't think Kansas has the best starting five in college in the Big 12 anymore. That I'm trying to think back over the last 10, 15 years. You can look at the teams in the Big 12 and not feel like you would take KU's five over the other ones. But I'm kind of questioning the horses right now. Quinn Grimes is not playing at a high level right now. We're asking him to turn things around. KJ Lawson's not playing at a high level. Charlie Moore. Marcus Garrett is injured right now. I just don't know if KU has the horses to go ahead and win this thing.
I got a question for you guys. I mean, did Vic play at Iowa State on January 5th when they lost by 17? Was he on the court when they lost at West Virginia when West Virginia hadn't won a game all year in the Big 12? Is he a part of the team that's lost four of the last six for KU? Is he a part of the team that's 1-6 in true road games this year? And the answer to all those questions, yeah. So, I think just KU was down. I think KU was young. KU was very inexperienced. And will not having Vic hurt them? I'm not sure. I think it's either the thing that puts the final nail in the coffin in the streak, or it's the change that KU needed to get this thing back on track.
Two.
The second hit of the day, Kansas's loss opens up an opportunity for the rest of the Big 12. K-State currently has sole possession of first place in the conference. They travel to Waco to take on Baylor tomorrow, a game that you'll hear right here on 610 Sports Radio beginning at 4 o'clock. What do you guys need to see from K-State tomorrow to buy into the Wildcats as the true favorites to win the conference this year?
Isn't the answer very obvious? Win? K-State fan, go ahead now. Let's be honest. I know you'll call me Buzz Killington. This is the game you normally lose. Let's be honest here. You just lost to Texas A&M 2 weeks ago. This is a game you normally lose. You finally beat KU for the first time in Barry Brown and Dean Wade's career. Everybody's feeling happy about you. You're puffing your chest out a little bit. You go on the road and you lose by 6 in a heartbreaker to Baylor. I've seen this happen time and time again. So, yes, prove us wrong. prove the people that are waiting for you to fail and go out there and take care of business against a good team, a team that's going to make the NCAA tournament in Baylor. We can agree, when KU was the best team in the league, this is the game they go on the road and they find a way to grind out a victory and they win 72-65 in this game. K-State, go out there, show you're the best team in the Big 12, and continue to kind of apply pressure to Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I hear coaches say all the time when they see an athlete do something well, and they're coaching them up, and they say, now repeat it. Do the same thing. That's what I want to see from K-State. You got over the mental hump. You got your bucket list win over Kansas, which Barry Brown and Kamau Stokes, those guys all talked about. A bucket list win, it got to be Kansas. We haven't beat Kansas. It's an experienced team. So now go out there and repeat it. And I think K-State can do that. I think K-State has the ability to do that, to go on the road and get a big one over Baylor. And as CDOT says, the contender elimination tour. It was Kansas, and now it's K-State. If they can go on the road and get Baylor, I think they can get them at home, too. Now, I don't think K-State's run of the table the rest of the way. They got 9 games left in the Big 12, and they got a tough 2 weeks coming up. But I think they can get this win. And you're right. They got to come out and win this thing so people legitimately believe that K-State's for real.
Third hit of the day, another sad tale in the story of Yordano Ventura. According to the Kansas City Star, 2 years after Yordano's passing, the $20 million remaining on his contract has not been paid and his estate is broke. It is believed that Yordano was the first player to have a multi-year fully guaranteed contract at the time of his death. The mother of Yordano's child has now hired a team of lawyers. They are trying to get the salary to be paid. What do you guys think should be done in this case? And maybe in a bigger picture sense, what lessons do you think can be learned from the entire Yordano Ventura story?
Man, if you want to talk about the lessons, we could do a full show on all the things you need to learn about Yordano Ventura. Keeping the right people around you, don't drink and drive, be smart with your money. Like, there's a lot of lessons that you can pass in the Yordano Ventura situation. I'll say this, it's very difficult to speculate. It's a very serious issue, so I want to treat it as such. The Royals talk all the time about family. They talk about community. They talk about taking care of each other. They talk about doing all those things. In my opinion, they owe Yordano Ventura's daughter some money. Maybe they don't owe her the full $20 million, but they owe her a significant amount of money. I'm not talking about $100,000. They owe this 5-year-old girl who was the sole heir of his estate a lot of money. The Royals are a $1 billion company. Major League Baseball is a $1 billion company. They can find a way to give this girl $10 million and settle it and us not have to go through years of back and forth. That's what I think the right thing to do in this scenario is.
I think the key to this whole thing is the toxicology report. And it was released to the family, but it didn't go public. And I think that's where the hang-up is going to be with Yordano Ventura. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know all the legal stuff when it comes to this. I don't. Yordano Ventura's daughter got $12.6 million in life insurance money. Typically what happens is something like this, and I'm assuming the family probably wanted the rest of Yordano Ventura's guaranteed contract. They weren't getting it. They weren't getting anywhere with it. So they probably talked to the Star, leaked it out there, and that's how this story got out. And now it's in the Royals court, and they want to make the family look like they need the money and they want support for the family. I don't know how this thing's going to play out. I think it's a tough one. If you look at it from a business standpoint, did you put something in the contract because of previous behavior to protect yourself in case something like this happened? If that's the case and that's in the contract, the Royals probably have a pretty good case to not pay the money if that's the deal. So
I just hate arguing for the $1 billion company when it's the $1 billion company and it's a 5-year-old girl.
Especially when the $1 billion company presents itself the way that the Royals.
Just give her some money. Just give her a decent amount. Settle this and give her some money.
And I think that's what will happen. I don't think they're going to get $20.25 million out of this thing, but I think they're probably going to get something. But again, as I always say, we don't know the full story. We never do. So there may have been something that happened way before that that led to them putting something in Yordano's contract to protect the company. So either way, it's a mess. It's awful that a daughter lost her father, Yordano Ventura. It's awful that his estate was broke. It's awful that he was in debt when he died, even though he had made $3 million. It's awful that the Royals lost one of their best young pitchers. I mean, it's a no-win for anybody here in all of this stuff. It's all tragic.
Four.
Final hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. Now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Well, Kareem Hunt is back in the headlines once again. Bears receiver Allen Robinson told reporters that Hunt would be, quote, welcomed with open arms if he were to sign with Chicago. Earlier today, Fesco in the Morning put up a poll on our Twitter account to see whether Chiefs fans would do the same. After more than 4,000 votes, 70% of the responses, they say they would be all right with the Chiefs signing Kareem Hunt. Are you guys surprised so many fans would welcome Hunt back in Kansas City?
I'm just really surprised that it's a conversation. The Chiefs cut him. If the Chiefs still wanted Kareem Hunt on the team, couldn't they just have suspended him indefinitely, got him help behind the scenes, and then made him active again? Like, cutting him is only going to cost them more money because now you're allowing more teams to get involved with it. That he was going to go through waivers if you cut him. No team was going to pick him up. But now at the beginning of the season, the Eagles can vie for his services. The Colts can vie for his services. The Bears can vie for his services. So multiple teams can get involved. It was only going to cost you more money to do this. So I just don't understand why the Chiefs will go through the practice of cutting Kareem Hunt during the middle of the season instead of suspending him indefinitely and saying we're going to get him the help he needs and he's not going to play again. Keeping that on the roster or keeping him on the roster, keeping him under their care, I just don't know why they wouldn't do all those things if their plan was to bring him back at the beginning of next season. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think Kareem Hunt plays for the Chiefs again.
Yeah, there's no way the Chiefs re-signed Kareem Hunt. It ain't happening. Not only did he have, you know, the video of him pushing and kicking a young woman in the hallway of that Cleveland hotel, but he also lied about it to the Chiefs. And there were two other incidents, too. So, yeah, he's not coming back. As far as the poll that was put up by the guys in Fesco in the Morning, it doesn't surprise me a bit that 71% of fans want Kareem Hunt back in Kansas City. Fans want wins. Fans want a Super Bowl in Kansas City, and they think he can help them. They don't care. The majority of fans don't care. They didn't care about steroids. They didn't care about any of that stuff. The majority of fans want wins for their football team, and they don't want to care about any of that other stuff. It's sad that it's that way, but that's the way it is. I voted no in the poll. You can't do that at all. It sucks for Kareem, but if he got the help he needed, if he's getting his anger management stuff taken care of, if he's worked out his alcohol problems, Kareem Hunt deserves a second chance, just not in Kansas City.
And that concludes the hits for today. So, you guys have known my stance when it comes to KU in the Big 12. I don't entertain another team winning the league. It's kind of one of those things like Floyd Mayweather. Like, I got to see another fighter beat Floyd Mayweather before I pick against Floyd in a fight. Like, Floyd wins every single time. KU wins every single time. So, I'm not really entertaining picking another team to win the Big 12. But I will say,
there's a button here.
The news yesterday, for the first time, has got me entertaining the possibility that this is the end of the streak. It's got me more leaning towards another team. I haven't leaned towards another team. I fell for 1 year with Baylor. Remember they had, what was it, Perry Jones, the tall kid?
Mm-hmm. Is that when they had Lace Darius?
I was like, you know what? This team's going to beat KU. And I told him, it was like 09. Never again. Never will I pick that team to do anything. I will never go down this road ever again. That ever since then, I have been very firm on KU was going to win the league every single year. But I've always believed that KU had more talent than the other teams. The KU had the best coach of all the other teams. They had the best home court. Like, when you just stack all those things up against each other, it is very hard. Now, I still believe they have the best home court advantage. They still got that. I still believe they have the best coach. I don't think they have the best players in the conference anymore, and that is a huge problem for me. That I look at this team as it is currently put together, not what it was supposed to be at the beginning of the season. I look at what it is right now. It is Dedrick Lawson and a bunch of other guys. I'm not seeing a lot of those other guys won't be great players at some point. I like Agbaji. I like Devon Dotson. They got good talent on this team. If I had to ask you right now, how many players do you think on this KU team are good? How many players on this KU team do you think are playing well? The answer is not a lot of them. I can't look at this KU team and say consistently on a night-in, night-out basis in the conference, do you have guys that are playing at a high level? That's never the case with KU. KU might only be seven deep, but they at least got five guys that are out there hooping. You got four guys that are playing at a tremendous level. How many guys right now do you think are playing well? Three, maybe?
Maybe if that. I mean, Dedrick Lawson.
I mean, Lawson, Dotson, Agbaji is maybe it. So it's Dedrick Lawson, a junior, who we agree is a little bit tight B. Mm-hmm. It was a redshirt kid that was not playing at the beginning of conference play. And Devon Dotson, who, like him, four-year player, probably not going to be the best as a freshman. Mm-hmm. He's going to stay. He's going to develop. He can maybe be the next Devontae Graham. I just don't like the horses that they have right now. I don't want anyone to think that I think this KU team is bad. I do not think they are a bad team. This KU team is still better than 90% of other college basketball teams. 92% of other college basketball teams. But the problem might be is they're not very special. I don't really know what they do well consistently at a high level. And there might be a team, and maybe even two in this conference, that are better than them. That I just don't like the talent on this KU team right now.
I think the most accurate thing you said right there, CDOT, was that they're not special. And that's what we're used to seeing at Kansas. We're used to seeing special players and special teams at Kansas. Even in those years when you think, man, they're not that special, they're not that good. Like I felt like last year, but I knew Devontae Graham was special. I didn't think the team was special. And then all of a sudden, March hit. The Big 12 tournament happened. Malik Newman went into a phone booth, came out with a cape, and just lit it up. Devontae Graham was special. That team turned into something. This team's not special. It's not. And you're right. It is better than the majority of the teams. I mean, hell, it just blew out Texas Tech, a ranked team, by, 17 or whatever it was at Allen Fieldhouse over the weekend. I think the streak's done. I think it's over. I don't think this group of guys can go in there and get it done. Marcus Garrett's hurt, too, their best defender. And he's not a guy that's going to come out and shoot the basketball and fill the spot for LeGerald Vick anyway. That's not who he is. They don't have shooters right now. They don't have experience right now. And this team is not special. It's as simple as that. I think it's going to have to a team that's going to have to grow up fast if it's going to make a run. And if it's going to win this conference, which I don't think it's going to do this year, it's going to have to grow up fast and make a run. And Quentin Grimes is going to have to play like the top 10 recruit that he is. And he's not doing that right now. He hasn't done that since, I think, the Iowa State game.
If we made a list at the beginning of the season of who do you think KU's five most important players are, six most important players, if you had wrote it down and just, hey, who means the most to KU winning the league? Who means the most for KU advancing in the NCAA tournament?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can say three of those guys are currently not on the team, and one of them is playing very poorly right now. We agree. Udoka Azubuike probably would have been your one. Maybe Dedrick Lawson would be your one. You can pick. It doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Udoka, not playing. Silvio De Sousa, not playing. LeGerald Vick, not playing right now. So three of, at the beginning of the season, if I had made a power ranking of guys we thought were the best on the team, three of them are not playing, and Grimes is playing really poorly right now. You kind of brought it up about maybe sparking this team and that it could be addition by subtraction. I mean this honestly. For who? If you're telling me that I'm supposed to bank on KJ Lawson turning things around, I'm okay on that. If I'm supposed to bank on Mitch Lightfoot, who we've seen play, 50 basketball games in his life, 60 basketball games in his life, and him getting the spark from LeGerald Vick not being there, I'm okay on that. If you're telling me that Marcus Garrett, like him, but primarily a defender, sometimes can give you some offense, but not a guy, but who's injured right now, and we don't know when he's coming back. I just don't know where the spark is coming from and who's capable of the spark. That most years, it's always that guy who you know kind of has that ability, but it just has to happen. A guy like Wayne Selden, a guy like Malik Newman last year. I don't know if you got that Tyshawn Taylor that's turning it on in the second half of the season. I just don't see where that person is on this KU roster.
I don't see it either, but I know who it has to be, and it's Quentin Grimes. He's the guy that has to do it. I don't know if he's capable of it, but I think he has the talent to do it. I think he's lost all his confidence, man, to be honest with you. You know, 6 points against K-State, six against Texas Tech, three against Texas, put 13 on Kentucky. I was mistaken about the Iowa State game. I was talking about the first one. Yeah, man, it's got to be, in my opinion, it's got to be Quentin Grimes. He's going to be the key to KU getting this thing back on track. That's it. And I don't know if that's a possibility or not. I think he has the talent. I think he's lost his confidence, but it's got to be him, don't you? I mean, who else can it be?
Yeah, I don't think it's him. Like, I don't like his game, but maybe that's it. Maybe I'm biased. I just don't like his game. I just haven't seen enough consistently. I'm not talking about doing it one time against Kentucky to score 12 points. It's can you consistently night in, night out, provide a spark?
And that he hasn't been able to do.
I just saw him two nights ago. Kid took four shots. Kid didn't get to the free throw line. He just wasn't a factor in the game against Kansas State. I just don't know if that person turns it on the second half of the season, but you're right, it's KU. I do think it is fair to point out that I don't know if this is Vic's last game in a KU jersey. His mom had the statement to Jesse Newell, did a good job, saying, hey, I need my son for a couple weeks. It's some stuff going back here in Memphis. He needs to be home with me for a couple weeks. Earlier today, whenever Self meets with the media, he said, you know, we're going to operate like Vic's not coming back, but it'd be great to have him back. Self, it didn't appear to me at the beginning. I thought they kicked him off the team. You want me? When I first saw the statement, I thought it was Self had gotten fed up. Self was done with it. Self is moving on from LeGerald Vick. They're moving forward with this roster. That's not the vibe that I got from him. So if you ask me, I would say by Big 12 time, I would say by the time the ice melts in Kansas City, hopefully, knock on wood,
yeah.
I think that Legerald Vick is back on the team because I think KU needs him. I think if you're holding out hope, if you're a KU fan, that this team can do anything in the tournament, they're not doing it in the tournament without Vick. I don't care if Grimes even turns things around a little bit. You're not doing it without your best shooter. You're not doing it without your only senior on the team. Self might not want to admit it. KU fans might not want to admit it, but this team needs Vick.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair to wonder if he's going to come back or not. And
I agree.
I mean, I think that's fair based on the history with Legerald Vick and with Bill Self. I mean, let's not forget at the end of the year, Vick said he's going to go to the NBA, and if he didn't go there, he agreed that he would play somewhere else. Magically, after Self gave his number away, Legerald Vick comes back to Kansas. To me, doesn't sound like Self necessarily wanted him, but as you said, knew he probably needed him, the one senior on the team. So then he leaves again. So I think it's fair to question and fair to wonder if, in fact, Legerald will be back. I think it's also safe to say that it was a smart response by Bill Self. Yeah, we're going to act like he's not going to be here, but if we get him back, great. It's a possibility. So why you can't close the door. You can't never say never when it comes to that. I have a hard time believing that Vic's going to be back. I mean, that's what I feel, that I don't feel like Vic's going to be back. Now, he may, but I have a hard time believing he's going to be back when, let's be honest, Self didn't really want him back in the first place.
So today, it is the 19-year anniversary of Derek Thomas's passing, and it kind of took you down a trip of memory lane.
It really did because, first off, I can't believe it's been 19 years since he passed away. After he died after that car accident where he didn't have a seatbelt on, he was heading to St. Louis for a playoff game. I couldn't believe it was 19 years. So then I started thinking about Derek Thomas and what he meant to the Chiefs and what he meant to Kansas City, what he meant to the fans. And I think it's important for people to understand that, especially younger people. I mean, BK, how old were you when Derek Thomas died? How old were you?
I was 7 or 8.
Okay, you're 7 or 8 years old, so you probably don't even remember the prime time seeing Derek Thomas play. Like, basically your entire lifetime, the Chiefs have been good for the most part, right, with the exception of the Romeo Todd Haley years.
I was about to say, that's about half of my life. But
but and the point I'm trying to make here is that before Derek Thomas arrived, the Chiefs had been to the playoffs one time in 17 years, and that was in 1986, and it was kind of a fluke when John Makovic was the head coach, and they went on the road and they lost to the Jets, got smoked in that game. Nobody really believed in the Chiefs. It was a crazy run that they had that year. Since Derek Thomas arrived, 15 playoff appearances in 30 years and 2 AFC title games. And, of course, that's not all Derek Thomas. I know that. But as soon as Derek Thomas arrived and was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, that's when Kansas City started to become a football town. When Derek Thomas was drafted and joined the Chiefs in 1989, that's when Kansas City started to become a football town. Now, Marty Schottenheimer arrived that same year. Carl Peterson was the general manager. But that's when it all started. That's when Arrowhead became Arrowhead. That's when we loved defense in Kansas City, which is why it's so frustrating for fans of my age group to look at the defense that the Chiefs are playing right now. This bend but don't break stuff drives me nuts because we got spoiled on Neil Smith and Derek Thomas and Bill Moss and Dan Saliamua and that great secondary with Kevin Ross and Lloyd Burris and that crew and Albert Lewis, Daron Cherry. We saw great defense. And that's why I'm telling you, like, the beginning of Kansas City becoming a football town is when DT was coming off the edge wearing number 58 and looking like a wild man. So those are the memories that I have, and those are the things that I think about on days like today when it's the 19th anniversary of his passing.
I think about the history of the Kansas City Chiefs and how many great players that they've had. I mean, they just got Johnny Robinson went in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. Tony Gonzalez went in the Hall of Fame, and then, like, you know, the Mount Rushmore of it. Mm-hmm. Derek Thomas is on the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City Chiefs history. I would say a lot of people are Chiefs fans because of Derek Thomas, that he was your first favorite player. Kind of what you're talking about with Tony Gonzalez, the mm-hmm. first jersey somebody had given you, the first great player. And it's not like he was, like, hidden in the community. A lot of people probably listening have met Derek Thomas at some point or mm-hmm. certainly had some level of interaction with him when he was alive. I think that a lot of times your team takes on the personality of its best player. Like, you think about this Chiefs team, and Mahomes, he might come up here humble off the field. Mahomes is out there flexing and talking trash and doing all that stuff. Like, on the field, Mahomes has that streak of competitiveness. Mm-hmm. He's a flashy player. You think about the team right now, I think they have taken some of the personality of their best player. That's exactly what happened with the Chiefs back in the 90s. Of the personality of the Chiefs were, we're going to run the ball, we're going to play great defense, and we're not just going to play great defense, we are going to constantly hit your quarterback and we are going to take the ball away from you. That I would say a lot of guys on defense now, the whole strip sack thing, man, Derek Thomas and Neil Smith made it cool to do that kind of thing, that it was not cool to just hit the quarterback. It was cool to hit the quarterback and then take the ball away from him and then create momentum for the other team. And sometimes, man, that won them the game, that this Chiefs team would win games 13-10, 7-3. Mm-hmm. And the 7 points that they got, or the, you know, 14 points they got, were largely created by their defense forcing turnovers and creating it. So I think a lot of people grew up with that mindset of it. And then you grew to have an appreciation of it because of it.
Yeah, because and the Chiefs were so bad too, C-Dot, that we got Mahomes now as a national star, right? Potential star of the league. In my lifetime, Derek Thomas was the first Chiefs star, like a national star, a league star that we had in Kansas City. You know, the first one. I mean, think about that. Because if you look at Chiefs football, you look at the way Arrowhead Stadium is right now, it all started with that guy. It really did. My good buddy Lee Judge, who was at the Kansas City Star, I think he got here in the early to mid-80s. You know, he said they'd hand out tickets like candy on Halloween down at the Star. He'd take his family there. He could have a couple of seats in between. You could stretch out, read the newspaper. Nobody's in the stands. Derek Thomas arrived, and that all changed.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the Chiefs and the poll. There was a poll on 610's Twitter account. 75% of people that voted in this poll would like Kareem Hunt to come back. Why that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think it's very obvious where his next team's going to be. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes. We will do Ask Us Anything. It has been a while since we've done it. The football season is over. We got a little bit of time until baseball season, so we will bring back Ask Us Anything. I am not going to lie to you guys. I didn't think this was a story. I didn't think it was a big deal. I normally think I have a good pulse of what you guys are talking about, but obviously I don't. So today on the Twitter account at 7:54 in the morning, which sounds like a Ryan Wachowski special, they did a poll. They did a poll for, would you like Kareem Hunt to come back? Or would it be all right with you if Kareem Hunt came back? 75% of people voted yes in this poll. 25% of people voted no in this poll. They would not be all right with it. So this is Brett Veach yesterday during his teleconference. He was talking about a lot of stuff. He was talking about Eric Berry. He was talking about, it was kind of his State of the Union. That's kind of what it was. So this is what he said about Kareem Hunt.
Again, when you talk about Kareem, I think our focus on Kareem is making sure that he's getting the help he needs and he gets his life straight first. And, you know, everything else after that, you know, it is not as important. Just making sure that, you know, he and his family are in a good place and they're working to get better every day.
I kind of hear those comments as a never say never. I don't hear it as a we're keeping the door open. He can come back if we think that everything kind of checks out. You always say this, and it's 100% true. There's always more than meets the eye. I find it hard to believe that the only instances that Kareem Hunt has had with alcohol or women like what happened in Cleveland or physical violence towards other people like happened in was at Put-in Bay. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that the only times that's happened are the 3 times that we know about. That's just not really how it works. Like if you're cheating on your wife and she catches you, you have been cheating before. That wasn't the first time. You just got caught for the first time. I find it hard to believe that the only instances that the Chiefs have had to deal with Kareem Hunt are the 3 times that TMZ told us about. I just don't believe it. I think there's other stuff that's happened. And then I think the Chiefs wanted to keep it in-house, and it was fine with them to a certain extent as long as we didn't find out about it. Mm-hmm. And then the video leaked, and they were like, all right, we got to do damage control. We're going to cut him. That's what I think happened. Maybe they're telling the truth about the he lied to us stuff. But I don't believe it when it comes to NFL teams, but that's a whole nother argument. No one can explain to me why the Chiefs would go through this whole process if they were just going to bring Kareem Hunt back. Because you can argue that keeping him on the roster was the smart thing to do. And you can talk to me about PR hits. We just see time and time again. If you do something, you lay low, people move on every single time. So the Chiefs would still be fine. If they had just said that we are going to suspend Kareem Hunt indefinitely, but he's still going to be on the roster, some people would still be mad for a couple of days. Then they would have kept playing football games. They would have went to the AFC Championship game. We would have never would have talked about it. And then it would have completely gone away, and we wouldn't be having that many conversations about it. So I just don't know why the Chiefs would go through this whole entire process of cutting Kareem Hunt just to bring him back and then allow other teams the capability to go get him. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, like, from a logical standpoint. Yeah. Even if you want him to come back, I just don't understand why the Chiefs, from a roster construction standpoint, would do all of this if there was a chance that they would want him back on the team in 5 months.
Play that again for me, C-Dot, if you can. Here's what Brett Veach had to say about Kareem Hunt.
Again, when you talk about Kareem, I think our focus on Kareem is making sure that he's getting the help he needs and he gets his life straight first. And, everything else after that, is not as important. Just making sure that, he and his family are in a good place and they're working to get better every day.
Can it be just as simple as the Chiefs care about him? I mean, they drafted the kid, they developed the kid, they got to know the kid, and he was a really, really good player for them. And I'm sure they knew about Kareem Hunt's troubles as soon as he became a pro. I mean, I worked in Toledo for 10 years. I know a bunch of guys up there. I did some background on Kareem after the first incident, and they said he was great. It was amazing. Like, awesome kid, no problems, no issues whatsoever. And maybe that was just because it was a small town and everybody was protecting him, and that very well could have been the case. But I know some pretty plugged-in people in Toledo, and they didn't have anything to say about him. I think it's as simple as this. I don't think that's the Chiefs leaving the door open for Kareem Hunt to come back to Kansas City. I think it's that Brett Veach legitimately cares about him. I think there's a lot of guys in that Chiefs organization, including head coach Andy Reid, that legitimately cares about him. And they want him to get his life straight. Now, he's not coming back to Kansas City to play. Not only did he have the three incidents that we know about, but he also lied to his bosses about it. And they asked him about the Cleveland incident, and he lied to them. So not only did he have three separate incidents in the offseason, but he lied to him when his bosses came and asked him about it. And so they said, you can't play here anymore. You're done. Now, if Kareem gets everything taken care of, the anger management, the alcohol issues, he certainly deserves a second chance, in my opinion. But it's not going to be in Kansas City, and I fully understand that.
Text line 69306. I strongly disagree with this. This is from the Protein House Eat With the Purpose text line. I think the backlash against Kareem Hunt wasn't nearly as bad or isn't as nearly as bad as they thought it was going to be. I think the backlash was pretty bad initially.
I do too.
I think the backlash was big. I just think that we never factor in that we are Americans and that we just move on from this stuff. I tell you guys all the time, my PR strategy would be keep your head down for 48 hours. Think about it. You guys think that, Liam Neeson isn't going to make movies again and you won't go see him? You'll go see him again. This week he was talking about hunting black people down. We move on from stuff incredibly fast. So, yes.
Mel Gibson.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do this
with anti-Semitic
I can give you Chris Brown. We can go through this literally for the next hour of people that it's a big deal. And then if you just keep your head down and you stay out of trouble, people will always bring you back.
Here's the thing, though, C-Dot. If the Chiefs re-sign him, no matter who signs him, you know what's going to pop up? Because everybody's got it on file video now, whether it's ESPN, NFL Network, any local TV state, anybody, national news. You know what's going to pop up? Whoever signs him? The video. The story of Kareem Hunt and why the Chiefs cut him. That's going to pop back up. Chiefs don't want that. All right? You know, another team can do that, potentially, but it ain't going to happen in Kansas City.
That sometimes I just think in relationships of, like I always say, like two people don't always equal good relationship. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Something can happen with you and somebody else that just for you, that's the end of it. That for somebody else, you can go on and have a great relationship, but just it's not going to work for me anymore. That's what I think happened with Kareem Hunt is, hey, we've done everything we can. Again, some of the stuff with Kareem Hunt, they knew about it. We knew about it. Everybody knew about it. I just think they reached the end of it. Like, I think it's over. Like, I don't really hear that as kind of entertaining it. Someone on the text line says, because damage control at the time was more important than future signability, this will be a terrible roster move if they bring him back. Just, it'll be a terrible roster move. They had a player on a rookie contract who was far exceeding his deal. Kareem Hunt, as sad as it's going to be and as weird as it's going to sound, is probably going to get a raise. Now, he's not going to get the big-time deal that he was in line to get just as a running back, but you aren't signing Kareem Hunt to a two-year, $2 million contract like he was under already. He's going to sign a two-year, $8 million deal. He's going to sign a two-year, $10 million deal. He's going to sign that kind of contract. So why would the Chiefs, like, no one can explain to me from a roster and team-building standpoint why it makes sense. You had him on a rookie deal. Suspend him. Put him on the shelf. You can put him on the inactive list. He was already going to be suspended by the commissioner.
But the Chiefs couldn't do that. Not after the Reuben Foster deal. I mean, this was post-Reuben Foster where the 49ers cut him for the alleged domestic assault stuff. And then the Redskins picked him up, and there was a ton of backlash from the Redskins on Reuben Foster. Chiefs didn't have a choice. Even if they wanted to keep him, they had to cut him.
We say that, though. But
and other teams, they didn't have a choice
either.
I'll give
you a team.
They couldn't sign him.
I'll give you a team. Let's say this happened in Dallas to Ezekiel Elliott. Do we think the Cowboys cut him? I don't think they cut him. I think they suspend him. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, he was in trouble. For 8 months,
he was in trouble constantly. If Ezekiel Elliott did what Kareem Hunt did and that video came out and it was right after the Reuben Foster thing, man, I think there's a chance that they cut him, considering everything else that Ezekiel Elliott has done.
Are you talking about the same organization that signed Greg Hardy?
No, I get it.
I don't think the Cowboys cut him if that's the situation. I don't know if a lot of teams cut him in that situation. I think every team suspends him in that category. No team lets him play that Sunday. That's the bad look. I don't know if all 32 teams cut Kareem Hunt after that day. I don't know if all of them do.
I mean, the Cowboys brand could certainly survive it where the Chiefs would take a lot more heat. You're not going to lose every single Cowboy fan. You're not going to lose a large portion of your fan base if you don't cut him. But the Cowboys are different than the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs had Tyreek Hill. A lot of people went nuts over the Tyreek Hill signing. You know, the Chiefs had the Javon Belcher deal also. Cowboys didn't have that. So I think the Chiefs did the right thing, and I think they did what they had to do.
No, I certainly agree with what they did, and I think it set a precedent. I'm only talking about the roster component.
Yeah,
already had him on the team. Mm-hmm. Just suspend him. He doesn't count against your 53-man roster.
If you wanted to bring him back.
If there was a chance he could come back, just suspend him. He's not on your 53-man roster. The commissioner already suspended him. Just suspend him, and you can keep him on your roster. And then you can say, he's not going to come back until we feel like he can come back. Don't ask us about it anymore. He's not coming back. They very easily could have done that. So to me, cutting him tells me that there's way more that happened behind the scenes. They had tried and tried again to help him, and it just didn't work. So I was just surprised to see this conversation continue itself over the last couple of days regarding Kareem Hunt and potentially coming back to the Chiefs. Coming up in just a little bit, it's been a long time. Go ahead and text in your questions. Text line 69306. It's time for Ask Us Anything. If you got a question you've just been holding, go ahead and text it in. Text line 69306. Ask Us Anything. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate. Next time on Fesco in the Morning.
Just because football's over doesn't mean we're not having fun and giving things away on Fesco in the Morning. We're giving away gift cards to New Axiom Brewery, Flying Horse Tap Room,
beer,
Red Door Grill, Smokehouse Barbecue, pizzas from the other place.
Pizza's dope.
How about a one-night stay at the Westin Crown Center, memberships to the J, and gift certificates to the Spa on Penn. It pays to listen at 7 and 8 every morning.
What the heck? Let's go.
Fesco in the Morning, weekdays 6 to 10 on 610 Sports Radio.
Well, the new year has come and gone, but hopefully you're sticking to those same resolutions and goals that you set at the beginning of the season. It's never a bad time to start over, and it's a great time right now to set your goals to make sure that it can be a strong new year and a strong 2019 for you. Making that perfect hire can be the difference in failure and success, and it can set your team up for all the success in the world. And that's why you should post your job where people are going every day to make connections, grow in their career, and discover job opportunities. And that place is LinkedIn. Most LinkedIn members aren't checking job boards regularly, but 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to and interested in new opportunities like yours. 70% of the U.S. workforce is right there on LinkedIn, so it is the best way to get your job opportunity in front of the right people and the best candidates. And that's why they're giving me a promo code. Promo code LinkedIn.com/Carrington gets you $50 off your first promo code. That's LinkedIn.com/Carrington for a $50 promo code. Be sure to check it out. The best job posting website on the internet, LinkedIn. Terms and conditions may apply.
At Diamonds Direct, love and romance are what we're all about. So for this Valentine's, we're making it easier than ever for you to give her that special gift that says I love you like nothing else can. Now through Valentine's Day, you can pick out the most romantic jewelry and enjoy 5 years zero interest financing. How about a $3,000 pair of gorgeous diamond stud earrings, just $50 a month? We've teamed up with top jewelry designers to offer a special selection of exquisite jewelry. Rings, earrings, bands, bracelets, and more, starting as low as $200. You can even meet famous designers in-store Valentine's weekend. It's Diamonds Direct's best ever Valentine's event, with more choices, in-store appearances by world-class designers, and 5 years zero interest financing on any purchase. And yes, all engagement rings are included in this spectacular offer. Imagine a $6,000 ring, just $100 a month. Come let us help you find the ultimate symbol of your love, with payments that make it more affordable than ever on approved credit. Now through Valentine's Day only, and only at Diamonds Direct.
At 119th and Row.
As the kids got older, I thought family meals would become a thing of the past. But thanks to McDonald's drive-thru, it's easy to find a little time in the morning to sit down together and eat a real breakfast as a family. In our car, on our way to the soccer game.
With McDonald's, breakfast is the most important meal on the way. Right now, order a hearty egg McMuffin or a savory bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit and get another one free. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Single item at regular price. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Shawnee Vision Kia, Kansas City's first choice for new and certified pre-owned vehicles. We take pride in making your experience an easy, smooth process from beginning to end. See you on the parkway. ShawneeMissionKia.com.
Shawnee Mission Parkway and I-35.
Wow, look at these roses. They're gorgeous.
Happy Valentine's Day, honey.
Aw, thank you. Guys, this Valentine's Day, you can order like a pro with gorgeous roses from Pro Flowers. She'll be thrilled when you surprise her with roses. And right now, you can get her a stunning bouquet of one dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Just go to proflowers.com, click the blue microphone, and enter secret code 3535. These gorgeous roses are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days. Plus, pick a delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Time is running out, so hurry to get one dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase starting at $19.99, plus shipping and handling. Beautiful flowers, amazing prices. You'll be a Valentine's Day pro. The only way to get this incredible deal is to go to proflowers.com, click the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter secret code 3535. That's proflowers.com, code 3535.
Hey, it's George Brett. If you're thinking about a new Ford, see my friends at Bob Allen Ford. Shop online at kcford.com and choose from over 700 vehicles at their two locations in Overland Park and Ottawa, Kansas.
First Royals game broadcast is February 24th on 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper. Traffic from Santa Fe Tow Service, the right choice.
This report's sponsored by P3 Portable Protein Packs, the more interesting way to get your protein. Northbound 435 at Eastwood Traffic Way, right lane blocked with a single car accident. Northbound 435 now backed up all the way to 350 Highway. Eastbound I-70, your trip to Blue Springs is going to take a little longer. It's slow at the Benton Curve, at the Jackson Curve, heavy at the stadiums as well. Then really gets heavy between 291 Highway all the way up to 7 Highway. Northbound 35 loaded up, getting across that Kidvaught Bridge all the way up to the 2935 split. Eastbound 435, still no recovery from that earlier accident. Stop and go from Metcalf to the Triangle. Spoiling dinner is obviously a no-no, but you're hungry. Well, there's P3 Portable Protein Pack. It has meat, cheese, and nuts you need. Grab the more interesting way to get your protein with P3. I'm Jay Edwards, 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper, traffic.
I have a question.
Yes.
You can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
I'm fully blaming the last 10 seconds on Brandon, even though it kind of was my fault. Like 45% of it was my fault, but more of it was on Brandon, so I'm going to blame 100% of it on him.
He's still the FNG, so I mean, you can still blame it on him, right?
Yeah, I'm blaming
him. I got the training wheels off today, boys.
Oh, you don't got the little sheets of paper?
Nope.
That's probably why we just messed up. You got to go back. You got to go back to the sheets of paper. All right, it's been a while since we've done Ask Us Anything. If you guys forgot what it is... Literally, just ask a question on the text line. If we think it's good enough, we'll answer the question. Like, it's not really much more in-depth than that. Text line 69306. If you could add any host as an athlete to the show, who would you pick?
I'd probably go with Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones would be a blast.
I can't believe of anybody you would add a Chiefs player.
I think Chris Jones is funny as hell, though, man. I think he'd be a great host. He may not be able to bring it the entire time, but I think he'd give you a couple of zingers. Yeah, so I'd take Chris Jones.
I mean, I think I would take LeBron James if I could just
add. Oh, I thought you were talking like local.
I mean, just said any, so that's why I was
assuming.
Yeah, I
thought local guys.
Yeah, I mean, if I could add any local athlete to the show, I would just pick Mahomes because more people of you would listen to Mahomes and
make a lot more money.
I don't know if he has a radio voice or not, but yes.
Mahomes doesn't really say anything.
Tomorrow is, or on Monday, if Mahomes said, I'm going to do 4 hours with the drive, we would get Royals World Series ratings if he was going to be on here. So, yes, I would pick Mahomes to host the show. Text line 69306. Which Royals newcomer has the best chance for a breakout year this season?
You know, I read that question, and I kept thinking about it. So, if I'm thinking newcomer, I'm thinking like Billy Hamilton. Guys like that. I'm still going to consider Brett Phillips a newcomer because he didn't hit last year. So I think he has a chance to have a breakout year if he can break camp with a team.
What's your favorite microbrewery here in Kansas City? Also, what is your favorite style of beer, i.e. IPA, lager, stout, barley wine?
I'll probably go IPA right there. I'm an IPA guy. I like those kind of beers.
I hate IPAs. I'm much more of a wheat person or something fruity.
I like wheat beers,
I like ciders. I don't really like IPAs. Not really my thing. Text line 69306. What should the Chiefs do if Mahomes leaves after his free agency and would Chiefs fans burn his jersey? The thing is, I won't say it's impossible, but in the NFL, it would just be because Mahomes doesn't want to be here anymore. So I would absolutely understand if you hated Mahomes to the point of, like, everybody signs the contract. Like, the Chiefs are going to offer him a fair deal. Everybody signs the deal in that context. So it would just be Mahomes saying, under no circumstance will I sign a long-term contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. That, yeah, if that happened, then, yeah, I understand why you would hate Patrick Mahomes. And he'd be the most hated athlete in Kansas City. And it would make perfect sense.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen just because Andy Reid's still going to be the coach here after next season.
It never happens.
No. So, yeah, they're going to offer him so much money that he's not going to be able to turn it.
They're like, they could hire you to be the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And then something tells me Mahomes would just resign. Someone says, we are on our way to pick up our new puppy. What should we name him?
That's a really good question. I'd name it Patty.
I can't believe Sparky wasn't the name that first popped in your head.
Sparky's for humans, not for canines.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Text line 69306. Have you seen the Fyre Music Festival documentary on Netflix? If so, what did you think? I actually watched both of them. I watched the one on Hulu, and I watched the one on Netflix. I liked the Netflix one a little bit more. I thought it was, like, more straight to the point. The Hulu one kind of was, like, more about, like, the impact of social media and why it's so powerful and all that kind of stuff. Where I thought the fry just got to the business. And then, I mean, the story the guy tells about the water is just an all-time kind of story. I would advise anybody to see it. Basically, what happened at the Fyre Music Festival was this guy had
this
idea.
Supposed to be this huge party, right?
Great party. Yeah, he had this idea, and it was a sham. He basically was just stealing people's money, and they kind of go through, like, the documentary of how it happened and all this kind of stuff. I thought it was really good. I would pick if I only watched one, I'd watch the Netflix one. I thought it was better, but I think they really work if you watch both of them. Text line 69306. Do you think Kansas City will ever have an NBA team?
Man, I'd love to say yes, but it sure doesn't feel like it, does it? I mean, I don't. Unless something drastically changes in our city, I don't think so. I really don't, and that sucks because I want an NBA team.
I don't think Kansas City wants an NBA team.
If they got it, they'd love it, CDOT, and you know that.
I don't know, to be completely honest with you. I don't know. I think about Charlotte. Does Charlotte love the NBA? I don't know if Charlotte loves the NBA.
Charlotte's also got, what, Duke, Carolina, and NC State around there? Wake Forest is in the mix.
Kind of like here. It's not much different than
now.
Here.
I disagree with you.
You
on
think
that
KU
one.
Fans are going a lot of NBA games? You think Missouri fans during the week are going a lot of NBA games and K-State fans?
I don't know. I
don't know if it works the way people think it works. I mean, I would like it because I enjoy the NBA. I'm just saying, because you got to factor in the NBA, they would never get free agents in Kansas City. Never. Look at the NBA right now. Free agents don't go to places like Kansas City. That the only way they could be good is if they draft a good player. Charlotte's never been good at basketball. Like, you either have to have
Oklahoma
a really
Oklahoma City's been good.
Yeah, but, I mean, they also drafted Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, yeah. Steven Adams in four consecutive years. And then they traded for Paul George and convinced them to stay. That, like, yeah, if you're telling me they're going to have maybe the top five front office, then yeah. But the overwhelming likeness is that that team wouldn't be good. I don't know if people would support it. Text line 69306, why does winter suck so much?
It's cold, man. It's icy.
I've been trying to figure that out my entire life.
It's cold. It's icy.
I'm about to get out of here, like, in 2 weeks. That's what I've been telling myself. Like, I'm not
going
to be here. I don't know, but I know,
like,
I ain't about to be here.
Like, for good or just for a while or
just for a while. I mean, I wasn't planning on moving, but
yeah,
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this for a while. Like, right now it's that kind of, like, the abyss. It's the abyss between, like, the Big 12 tournament. Like, nothing's really happening. When I'm not here for 3 or 4 days, I'm somewhere warm. That's my goal here.
Yeah, not next week. Week after that, I'm going to be in Arizona for 3 days. So, I'm with you.
Text line 69306. Chiefs first pick. Who we taking?
Don't care. Just be a corner and be a good one.
Yo, I'm going to say this. If you can predict who the Chiefs are taking at pick 29, you are an amazing. You don't need to be doing this. You need to be working for the Chiefs. If you know who the Chiefs are going to take right now.
You know what I would say? I would say, does Bink have a mock draft up yet? I'm sure he does. He's like mock 5.0.
He's doing his, like, top 10 players.
Is that what he's doing?
All right, so Bink's going to have it shortly. Bink's been working on this. He's got his lab coat on. He's been down in the basement working on this thing for, like, months.
Text line 69306. If you could be bitten by an animal and gain its power the same way Spider-Man was with the spider, what animal would you be?
That's a really good question. Maybe like an eagle. I'd like to be an eagle. I could fly. be powerful?
I would pick any animal that you can fly. Like,
yeah,
just the ability to do all those things would just be really cool. Like, running fast like a cheetah would be really cool, yeah. But and just the ability to fly would be amazing.
You know,
so
what?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd pick an eagle, too.
I think if you got bit by a cheetah, though, you might not live to get its powers. But if you could, if you can be that fast, you're probably going to make some money doing something.
Text line 69306. What are you guys' plans for the weekend? I'm having a house party, Carrington. If you DM me, I'll come. I went through this stretch with, like, maybe was like a really bad stretch in my life where I would, like, literally invite, like, listeners over and we would hang out. I'll never forget this. One time.
Really?
No, I'm serious. One time, I mean, it was.
Did you vet them at all? I mean,
I remember when I have a Papa Shot machine in my apartment, and just people would just DM me and be like, hey, can I come over? And I'd be like, sure, if you want to. I'll never forget this. It was Golden State played OKC. You remember that one game where Steph had like those back-to-back like 40-foot three-pointers, mm-hmm. and they won the game? This guy came over. I was like, you can come over if you bring a bottle of Grey Goose. Like, me and a bunch of my friends over. These two kids came over and they watched the whole game. We just played Papa Shot and drank the whole time. Like, I wouldn't know those kids if they walked in here right now. I only met them the one time. Sometimes the kid texts me. I don't have his number saved in my phone. But, yeah, no, I was going through a stretch where I was just hanging out with listeners.
So, wait a minute. You had two kids bring booze over to your house.
One of my friends.
Were they 21 or?
I didn't check no ID. Yeah. One of my really good friends I met off Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he came over to watch Missouri. They play, like, Mississippi State. And we, like, still really good friends to this day. So, yeah. If you invite me, I'll come over. I ain't doing nothing tomorrow. Missouri, they're going to lose probably in their basketball game. So, someone asked, what is your favorite non-sports thing to do in your free time?
Non-sports thing to do in my free time? This is going to sound weird, but I really like yard work when it's warm outside. I love it. It's relaxing.
I listen to a lot of music and a lot of podcasts. That's probably the biggest thing. I watch a lot of movies, too. Like, a lot of movies.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
A lot of movies. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Have a very good week. Stay warm. Stay safe outside. Bink at Night coming up next. Do us a favor. Download the radio.com app. Also, visit us at 610sports.com. Back again on Monday. Go K-State. It's The Drive.
Shawnee Vision Kia, Kansas City's first choice for new and certified pre-owned vehicles. We take pride in making your
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.